May I speak to you in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Hey, that's not fair. I bet there's not a single parent or grandparent here who's ever heard that before. Those that worked 1 hour get the same wage as those who worked 12? I believe if the disciples were from Georgia like me, they would say something like, "Master, that dog won't hunt." You couldn't possibly run a business this way. The very idea is absurd. You'd have to close up shop in 2 weeks. Well, clearly Jesus' purpose here is not to teach a business course on the principles of management. So what's he on about then? Well, in chapter 19, right before this passage today, Jesus was in the middle of teaching two lessons. Now, one was about the rich young man who came up to Jesus and wanted to know what good deed he would have to do to earn everlasting life. And Jesus basically says, "Keep the commandments." When the young man replies that he has done exactly that ever since his youth, Jesus tells him that he lacks only one other thing if he really wants to be perfect. He needs to go and sell everything that he owns, give the money to the poor, and then he will have treasure in heaven. And then he can come and follow Jesus. Naturally, the young man went away grieving, for he had many possessions. Now, Jesus used that parable to make the point to the disciples that it would be easier, you know how this goes, for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God. Ooh. As you might expect, Jesus' disciples had a reaction to that. Now, Peter, as the spokesperson, pipes up and says, "Now, look here, Jesus. We've all given up everything we have to follow you around. What are we going to get out of this?" I'm paraphrasing a little bit from the NRSV. But Jesus says, "Well, Peter, you'll be enthroned in heaven, and you'll receive 100 times whatever it was that you gave up to follow me." But then Jesus adds on, "But many who are first will be last, and the last will be first." Now, in the very next breath, Jesus tells the parable of the laborers in the vineyard that we just heard a few minutes ago. So Jesus wasn't in the middle of talking about how to run a business. He wasn't even in the middle of talking about how to treat people fairly. He was trying to help his anxious disciples understand something about the nature of the kingdom of God. Well and good. What is Jesus trying to teach us about the kingdom of God? Is Jesus saying that the kingdom of God is inherently unfair? Well, yeah, maybe. In the world of Jesus' parable, when the vineyard owner went back to the marketplace in the afternoon and asked the people there why they were just standing around idle all day, they replied that no one had hired them. Well, why not? Maybe compared to the ones who'd been hired early in the day, these folks who were still there at 5 o'clock, maybe they were just a little too old, a little too young. Maybe they didn't seem quite as strong and sturdy as the ones who'd been picked up earlier. Now, the thing is, these folks needed work too. These folks also needed to eat. They also needed to be able to feed their children. Would it be fair for their children to go hungry just because the other laborers were younger or stronger? In our culture especially, we tend to think of fairness only in terms of what's fair for a single individual. And while it's true that God absolutely does love each and every one of us individually, it is also true that God's definition of fairness is greater than ours. God's definition of fairness extends to the entire community, to the entire human family. Now, God's vision for us might sometimes seem a bit unfair from where we sit, because we get so caught up in seeing the world just from our own individual point of view. I worked 12 hours in the blistering sun. I worked 12 times as long as that guy. It's so unfair that he should get paid the same wage as I. But how often do we stop and think, it's so unfair that I have two strong hands and a strong back? Let's put it a little closer to home. In my case, it's so unfair that I never had to worry about whether my parents would be able to feed me. It's so unfair that my family was able to provide me a stable home in a safe neighborhood. That my parents had the education to be able to help me with my homework and the kinds of careers that gave them the time to do that so that I could get a leg up in school. It's so unfair that other people didn't have the same advantages that I enjoyed. How often do we ask those questions? Funny the way we only seem to care about fairness when we think we are the ones being shortchanged. The thing is, such fears are based on our certainty that there's never going to be enough to go around, that we can only get what we need at the expense of someone else who's going to have to do without. Sorry, that's just the way it is. As individuals, we believe in scarcity. We believe in scarcity, and we spend our time focusing on what we deserve to have. That's a deadly combination, y'all. It cuts us off from the kingdom of God. We cut ourselves off from the kingdom of God when we put those two things together. The laborers who worked 12 hours and received a day's wage didn't lose anything when the vineyard owner gave the same wage to the latecomers. The ones who worked a full day still got a full day's wage. And they were still able to feed their families. They got exactly what they contracted for in the morning. They didn't lose anything. Now, thanks to the vineyard owner's abundance and generosity, the ones who only had the opportunity to work a single hour were also able to go home and feed their families. That's the good news of the kingdom of God. And it's good news indeed. So, why did the laborers who were hired first in the morning and worked the entire day in the field, why did they have trouble seeing this good news? How is it that they missed the generosity and the abundance of the vineyard owner? What made them change their mind about the wages they received, wages which just a moment ago had seemed completely fair to them? I mean, they thought a day's wage for a day's work was perfectly fair. Until those people over there got the same thing. Those people who had only been in the marketplace since dawn, looking for work, but whom nobody had hired until the last hour of the day. Those people who would have had to go home after spending the whole day looking for work with nothing to show for it. Obviously, it must have been their fault for not getting hired sooner, for not being younger or stronger, I mean, after all, if we're going to say it would be fair to for them to be paid less or not at all, if we're going to say that's fair, we have to find a way to make it their fault, right? Maybe this isn't about fairness at all. What is it that makes us start worrying about fairness when we ought to be thinking about compassion? Why is access to things we all need, things like a job, like employment, like housing, like education, like health care, like even food, why are these questions of fairness? Do we really think that those of us who have such things and have access to such things deserve them just because we have them? Do we think that those who don't have them must not deserve them? Or at least must not deserve them quite as much as we do? I mean, we have to think that, right? If we think it's really about fairness. Well, if that's what we think, then we've lost sight of who it is that owns this vineyard. If that's what we think, we've lost sight of the true source and the real owner of every blessing that each one of us enjoys. Folks, it's all too easy to lose sight of whose world this is, of who really owns the resources and the gifts that enrich our lives. And when we lose that vision, that understanding, we lose the humility that comes from knowing that we are utterly dependent on the owner of the vineyard for our daily bread. And then it's horrifyingly easy in our pride and our self-centeredness to end up like the laborers in today's gospel, to end up hiding behind the pretense of fairness, when what we're really saying is, I don't want those people to have what I have. I don't want those people to have what I have. Two things about that, y'all. First, about those people. Anytime we find ourselves using the phrase those people, we're wrong. We're automatically wrong. There are no those people. There are only God's people. Period. Full stop. And second, the piece about not wanting them to have what I have because it's mine. Well, I grew up watching a lot of TV, so I'm going to tell you a quick story from an old sitcom from the 80s. I think it's right on point. There's an affluent couple, and their middle child comes home from school one day in tears. She's bawling her eyes out. Now, the parents sit her down and they talk to her, and after much coaxing and cajoling, they get her to say, to explain that the reason she's crying is because the kids at school were teasing her for being a little rich kid. Well, at that point, the father just busts out laughing. He says, "Let me explain something to you. Your mother and I, we are rich. You have nothing." It's funny. But there's a truth hiding in there for us. God is rich. We have nothing that is not God's. How dare we condescend to tell another human being what he or she does or doesn't deserve? Beggars that we are.